present the news quiz with your chairman, Simon Hoggart.
Hello and welcome again to the news quiz. We start with the instruction sheet for an IKEA floor lamp, read by Charlotte Green.
It is advisory to be two people during assembly.
How very true. Thanks to everyone who spotted that. Now let's meet the teams. Please welcome first on my right, Andy Hamilton and newcomer David Quantick. And facing them on my left, Alan Corran and Tony Hawkes. Andy, whose bubble has burst in the broadsheets?
It is advisory to be two people when answering these questions.
Blair.
Yes.
It's Blair's popularity ratings, isn't it?
That's right.
It's his kind of golden days are over, where everyone thought he was telling the truth all the time, and they realised he's got loads of cronies and he's a liar most of the time, I think. That's the general consensus, I think. Was it an NOP poll or
Telegraph?
Telegraph, of course.
The Guardian.
Who were these?
Of course.
The Guardian.
Same thing.
The weird thing is that Labour didn't make any promises at all, which is why they won the election, but he's still lying to us.
I think you interrupted. He was going to do an impression of Tony Blair.
Oh, I want to hear that.
Are you going to do an impression, Andy?
My impression of Tony Blair consists only of pausing. In a caring...
Yes, a Guardian ICM poll this week revealed that Mr. Blair is no longer seen as a giant among statesmen by the public, but just another politician. His advisers are very worried by the trend, fearing that if this decline in popularity continues, he could lose the general election in 2073. David, whose star is rapidly fading?
Is it Bill Clinton?
It is.
It is a very sad time for him, because he's probably thinking about President Kennedy and how he... Not only did he get away with it, having sex with lots and lots of people, but he had sex with Marilyn Monroe. It's just not fair. Speaking as Bill Clinton...
There was one story in the week that really demonstrated why Clinton has to go, his total ineptitude and misjudgment of how these things should be carried on. He played this golf match in Ireland last week at Ballybunion, which is a daft enough place to play anyway. You get a laugh for that. But at the end of it, I saw in the Times that he'd auctioned for charity, has to be said, his golf glove, which brought 5,400 quid. And you would think, who would want Clinton's glove, if you think about it? I mean, his shoe, his tie, but the glove.
I suppose it's not worth suggesting that he should have auctioned his balls.
No, I think Hillary's going to do that. Did you see the little anecdote he did in one of, I think it was Tuesday's apology? He did this routine about the little boy, about how when he'd been out on the campaign and this little boy had come up to him and said, "I want to be like you. I want to be the President of the United States." And that was, and you waited for him to say, you know, "and have sex with impressionable young women."
He has apologised. I mean, he came on, he said, "I'm very sorry. This has never happened before." Apologised to all of America and then absolutely promised that he would phone them the next day.
He's really grovelling big time now. His latest apology, which I believe was Thursday, I can't remember. But in that one, he was really grovelling and saying, trying to be spiritual and really showing emotional regret. And he was saying that something like this happening to you makes you think about how you might spend and what you might think about on your last few hours on Earth. And given his track record, I've got a bloody good idea what he probably wouldn't.
Washington observers say that the dramatic worsening of the president's position will lead almost certainly this weekend to either impeachment, resignation, or a land invasion of Canada. 2 points to David. Tony, why won't physicians have to heal by themselves?
Nurse question?
It is a nurse question.
Tony Blair went along to the Nurse of the Year Awards, where he was asked to prove that his bowels were functioning OK by giving a sample. And he refused, but was able to provide a similar end result by giving a speech. But he basically, I think he wants to try and stop nurses from leaving and going into management to get more money when they can be consultant nurses or super nurses, as he's calling them.
Seems to me there's a misconception at the heart of creating this new level of super nurse, because I saw a spokesman saying it was so that more ambitious nurses would be encouraged to rise up through the profession. And if, I mean, most nurses you meet, they are very kind, caring people, aren't they? You don't meet many nurses who come onto the ward and say, right, goddammit, I'm the most ambitious nurse on this ward. Anyone who stands in my way and doesn't get better is out.
The creation of a super nurse means that super patients cannot be far behind. The main prerequisite will be the ability to leap long waiting lists at a single bound. 2 points to whoever got that. Alan, listen to your music, please. You ought to make it sick. Let's Stick Together by Brian Ferry. Alan, who's headed for a showdown in the EU chorale?
Oh, this is Dimple Haig, isn't it? It's the Mekong. Haig is attempting to unify the party by dividing it straight down the middle into those that support his reactionary ideas and those who don't. It's terrible when you ask, have questions about Haig, because there are no jokes left to be made about Haig. He hasn't come down in balloons, he hasn't... God knows he's never opened his flyers inadvertently. I was very disturbed, thinking of the opening of Flyers of America, to read this, you know, the reviews of this new book about Robert Kennedy, who apparently shagged Nureyev in a phone box. Among his various affairs, Marilyn Monroe and all those we know about, there was Rudolf Nureyev, who had in a phone booth.
Must have been an accident, sure.
Well, as it was in the 1960s, I can only assume it was one of those things like, how many ballet dancers can you get into a phone booth? And they had 43 in there. Phone went and he moved suddenly. But...
William Haig called a surprise ballot of all Conservative Party members on the issue of a single currency in an attempt to unite his party. Mr Haig was said to have finally made up his mind that the time was right for him to do something he should have done a long, long time ago. But unfortunately, Fionn had a headache at the time. And the scores at the end of round one are Andy and David with 4, but Alan and Tony in the lead with 6 points. Andy, you open the second round with this question. Where are the fans blue as the sky turns red?
Well, obviously, this is the story about Rupert Murdoch buying Manchester United. At a personal level, I approve of this merger because it saves me having to waste time hating them both. Separately. No. Are they Man U fans hissing in the audience? I think so, because they had Scandinavian accents. My main concern as an avowed football fan is that if you look what Rupert Murdoch did to rugby league, he made a few changes. It became a summer game as opposed to a winter game. He changed the names of every team until they included animals. You know, Rochdale is not famous for its panthers. My dread is that a few years from now we will be watching Manchester Cougars play London Galaxy.
It isn't much of a dread, Andy. I speak as someone who already works for Rupert Murdoch. And if things go wrong with Manchester United, he's quite liable to flog the entire team and I should end up at centre-half.
But you'll be all right, because you can go down to Loftus Road and watch Queen's Park Wolverines. It places Mr Blair in an interesting position, of course, because the populist in him, who has often written about the romance of football and the need to protect it from these ruthless money men, the populist in him probably ought to oppose the takeover, but somehow I've just got this feeling he won't do that. I don't know why.
Well, Elizabeth Murdoch's boyfriend is Matthew Freud, who's on the Millennium Dome Committee, to which he was appointed by Peter Mandelson, who is going to make the decision about the takeover of Manchester United by Rupert Murdoch, who is the father of Elizabeth Murdoch.
You are so cynical, do you know that?
It was Rupert Murdoch's Sky TV, which has bought Manchester United for £625 million. Other TV companies have been quick to respond. Carlton have put in a bid for Arsenal, Granada are said to be looking seriously at Liverpool, and Live TV have offered their next 10 years programme budget for the rights to Stevenage Junior's under-12 squad. 2 points somewhere or other. David, where might one vote soon decide one's future?
Is this the royal family? This is the fact that they wish to limit the powers of the monarchy, which I think is a good thing because of just one area, which is the fact that they own all the swans, that you can't do anything to a swan. There's not only one thing you could do to a swan, which is eat it, but you can't do anything to a swan unless you're the queen, which is very bizarre. And I think we should get our swans back.
Actually, David, I know a bit about Greek mythology, and there is more than one thing you can do to a swan.
The thing about swans, everyone just goes, do you know, a swan could break your arm with its wing. The Queen, therefore, has got more chance of having her arms broken than anyone else in this country.
Well, I think if the Queen's allowed, she's allowed to eat swan, isn't she?
Yeah.
And we're not. I think they should make her not allowed to eat something we can, so she shouldn't be allowed to eat pizza.
Chips. I wonder. I always wonder, is it literally just the Queen who could eat swans? I mean, does Prince Philip come in and go, cool, that swan looks nice, can I have a bit? And she's going, no, I'm having it. And she has to eat a whole swan, because we cook the whole thing, and she's there for days, and it's swan curry, swan sandwiches, swan curry, swan vesca.
Yes, it was the Demos report, Modernising the Monarchy, which called, among other things, for the public to vote on whether Charles should become king. Seeking to distance himself from the report, Tony Blair said there was precious little hope of the proposals ever becoming law, as he'd put John Prescott in charge of implementing them.
Maybe they could just have ducks. They could keep the ducks and we could have the swans.
She could do demonstrations, couldn't she, of breaking a swan's wing with a single blow of her arm.
I reckon that's how the Queen Mother broke her hip, you know. Too near the swans. Come away from the swans, Mother. I'm just looking.
Tony, listen to this. When I was young, they used to get me counting sheep, but the counting on it was all in vain. Now when I'm tired and I'm trying to get to sleep, I can't hear what's jumping on two trains. Tony, what may soon be barbed from our tables?
Aha. BSE in sheep.
Yes.
Used to be in cows. Somebody thought it would be a good idea to try it out in sheep for a bit. And then they're going to move on to various other things, ending in swans, and then feed it to the Queen.
I never understood how they found out that sheep have got BSE, because they act like they've got BSE already. It's like, you know, saying that sloths suffer from sleeping sickness. How do they know?
Yes, concerns were raised by Professor Geoffrey Armand that sheep may also be infected with BSE. Fears that lamb might not be safe were dramatically heightened on Monday when John Gummer was spotted trying to force-feed his daughter a doner kebab in Parliament Square. Alan, whose show may be over even before the fat lady sings?
We know it.
It's opera ain't over.
It's usually about the Royal Opera House. It's about Colin Southgate.
Yeah, you got it.
Colin Southgate is shutting the Opera House for the whole of 1999 to cut costs. Seems to me to be ridiculous. I mean, you could easily put on two productions. You could do Lucia de Lammermoor on stilts, and underneath you could have The Marriage of Figaro. Sick and tired of the fuss they make at the Royal Opera House. All those fat pigs can spend 400 quid a ticket to do nothing except get drunk in the crush bar. Nobody ever goes there to hear the music anyway. You can buy a CD for £4.99 and go home. Have a swan curry, put your feet up.
I just think it's a bloody long interval, really.
It'll be all right, because Rupert Murdoch's buying it.
That's fantastic.
It's going to be the Covent Garden Cougars.
It's going to be...
Couldn't they just make the productions cheaper by not singing the same information more than once?
You mean I am dying? Mm.
The Royal Opera House chairman, Sir Colin Southgate, has revealed that the house is to close for at least 11 months due to its £15 million debts. Singers at Covent Garden are outraged at having to bear the brunt of the proposed cuts. Management just aren't taking us seriously, said a 23-stone woman in full battle dress with horns and wings on her helmet. The scores at the end of round two are, excitingly, Andy and David with 8, but Alan and Tony clinging to the lead with 10 points. We start round three with a cutting from the Wandsworth Borough News.
Prison staff and their families were invited to view Wandsworth Prison's £6 million refurbishment of the once impoverished A Wing on Saturday. Up until 2 years ago, the wing operated Victorian-style conditions, where prisoners used a bucket for a lavatory and sloped out every morning.
Thanks, Mrs. F. Slark, for that. Andy, whose autobiography was much more revealing than absolutely necessary.
Was this Richard Branson?
It was.
Who posed naked for publicity blurb, was that it?
Or yes.
With holding his hand over his parts. I didn't know what to call Richard Branson's private bits then.
Jeffrey.
I was working on a joke about his whole being greater than the sum of his parts, but I couldn't make it work.
He had to hunt around ages, though, before he could find a publisher for it, but eventually it was published by Virgin.
One of Branson's sensational disclosures was that when he was a very young man, he invited a rock musician to his home for a frenzied wife-swapping session. Branson ended up losing his wife, but he did get a rare set of top trumps cards and some unusual conkers in return. Andy, 2 points. David, now have a listen to this.
Your cheating heart will make you cry and cry and try to sleep.
Your Cheating Heart by Ray Charles. David, who was sent down for uploading?
It's on the tip of my tongue.
No, it isn't.
No, it isn't.
It's a student who was caught cheating with a computer, wasn't it?
Yep.
Cheating has gone electronic now, and whereas in the old days we used to write Palmerston's foreign policy on the back of our shirt cuff and hope that A, we got the question, and B, we didn't sweat Mesopotamia away. yes, this person, it was a young girl, I believe, cheated via a computer and she got caught.
Probably because you had a computer strapped to her arm in the exam room.
Former scholar asked a comment said he was appalled at the thought that anyone who'd attended Oxford could lie and cheat in this way. But couldn't say any more because he was due to be impeached by Congress next week. Tony, who's been criticised for potentially helping to produce a lot of new releases?
I think the Spice Girls and All the Saints, because two of them have spiced up their life even more and are pregnant, two of the Spice Girls, and the girly band, the All Saints, aren't All Saints, because one of them's pregnant as well. So head teachers are really worried that particularly young girls at school, well, girls get pregnant easier than boys anyway, so that's why they picked on them particularly. But they're worried that girls who don't do very well academically will just have low esteem anyway. We'll see Posh Spice or whoever it is, instead of doing their studies, they'll try and have babies and as well. Instead of going for the 3 R's, they'll probably go for 2 R's and a quick F.
I wonder if Monica Lewinsky had a head teacher.
There's two Spice Girls pregnant.
That's right.
I think that's right. And they've lost Ginger. So this time next year, there's going to be Sad Spice and Lonely Spice. And that's going to be.
No, not so, because there'll be 3 Baby Spices.
Well, Baby Spice will then become jealous older sister Spice, who pokes Baby Spice in the eye when no one's looking and says she did it herself.
Posh Spice was asked how she felt she'd cope with a constantly crying, small, helpless bundle who'll need 24-hour attention.
Yay.
But she thought that David Beckham would still make a great father. Right, thank you. Alan, whose mobile home turned out to be more mobile than at first thought?
It's not about the tortoise?
Yes.
Oh, it's the British Association. Every year, the British Association has a meeting, usually in Eastbourne or Brighton or somewhere, so that it can get on the news quiz. By coming to a lot of dark conclusions. And this year has discovered that something called the Malachite, or something islands, They're tortoises that travel 100 miles an hour. They're very, very thin shells, very big heads and very long legs. I don't know how they knew they were tortoises. I mean, one thing about a tortoise, you identify it as something going extremely slowly. They've discovered this because, of course, DNA, they found a bit of this tortoise, a bit of toast, and it turned out to be a thin part of its shell.
Interesting, like this DNA thing, very exciting, was the last thing to be inspired by DNA, was Jurassic Park. So it's probably going to be Jurassic Speed Park, about a tortoise that can't go below 50 miles an hour or it'll explode.
And the scores at the end of round three are Andy and David 12, but Alan and Tony clinging to their lead with 14 points. And before we start the final round, here's a clipping from the Mail on Sunday.
Former Defence Secretary Michael Portillo was introduced at a function by a young lady saying she would relay not his biographical but his biological details. She then stammered, "I mean, I'm going to tell you all the positions he's achieved."
Thanks to Mrs. A.J. Krell of Corby for that. Andy, listen to this.
Their faces gaunt, their eyes were blurred, and shirts all soaked with sweat. They're riding hard to catch that herd, but they ain't caught them yet. 'Cause they got to ride forever on that range up in the sky, on horses snorting flame and fire. As they ride on, hear them cry.
Which natives are getting a bit shirty in Glasgow?
You do know this, David? Do you know?
I have no idea.
It's about a ghost shirt.
Oh, right.
No, all it's right, about the Battle of Wounded Knee, from which a Glaswegian, I don't know what he was doing there, he stole it. Well, that's probably on the cards. Probably Wounded Knee was playing Celtic in the final. Give me that shirt. And he brought his shirt home to Glasgow, and his shirt belonging to an Indian, and it has magic properties. And negotiations between the original American Indians and Glasgow City Council, whatever it is, to get the shirt back.
That'd be one hell of a fight between the Sioux Nation and Glasgow Council, wouldn't it? Yes.
Nation going, this time we have really got to get it right.
Lakota Indians are seeking the return of a ghost shirt worn by a Native American warrior at the Battle of Wounded Knee, currently on display at Glasgow's Kelvin Grove Gallery. Lakota face stiff competition. Rupert Murdoch has allegedly put in a bid for the warrior's shirt, which he will use as Manchester United's eighth new away strip this season. David, which lovey didn't ask before exiting stage left?
Oh, I know this, bizarrely. This is, Helen Mirren is in Antony and Cleopatra playing Cleopatra, surprisingly, and in that play, I don't want to spoil it for you, but she dies, she's bitten by an asp on the chest, and the asp has gone missing. Its last words were, "What did your last serpent die of?" I've been waiting for years to do the only snake joke there is, in my opinion.
I heard he was actually fed up. He felt he was being typecast as a snake.
He's gone out and he's got himself four little plastic legs. He's going, "Look, I can do lizards."
Yes, it was Cedric the Asp who's disappeared prior to making his debut opposite Helen Mirren in the Royal National Theatre's new production of Antony and Cleopatra. Where is that Cedric might have been suffering from stage fright grew after he was spotted boarding the Eurostar at Waterloo with Stephen Fry. Alan, whose makeover promises to be first class?
It's not the first class passengers who insist on new tail fins on British
no,
Airways
actually,
trains.
But that would fit the question.
That would fit my life, wouldn't it?
Yes, British Airways.
my bid is the British Airways tail fin, which first class passengers are insisting has a Union Jack back on instead of all those ethnic things in batik.
What sort of airline passenger worries about the colour of the tail fin?
Sit down, close the window.
You can't even see it anyway. You get down the jetway, you can't see the plane except from the inside, can't you?
As it suddenly goes past, that would be a bit unsettling.
You're falling to your death and you're going, "Look, batik." I think what they were scared of was Lady Thatcher creeping up with huge sheets to cover all the tail fins. Remember that when she got that tissue at some do and covered up the fin? They're going, "Stop, Lady Thatcher, put that tissue down." She's going, "No, I must cover these tail fins."
That was at the Tory conference last year. It was when I saw her shinnying down the 747 on its way to New York that was scary.
I was just thinking that Mrs. Thatcher with the tissue in her hand would give Bill Clinton a nasty turn.
Before we reveal the final scores, let's see what cuttings the teams have brought along. Andy.
Well, this was sent by Ted Shepherd of Thelwall. It's from The Telegraph. Councillors have banned a swimming coach from using a crocodile to encourage his young pupils to swim faster. Mark Davis, who teaches swimmers aged 7 to 20 at Darwin in Australia's Northern Territory, had planned to use a reptile, drugged and with its jaws wide shut, from a local crocodile park. Public swimming pools are for people, not for crocodiles, said a spokesman for Darwin City Council. And we do not condone the stress to a crocodile that must ensue from being put in chlorinated water.
David.
Well, I take as my text for the day, this is from Coral Link in Bicknoller in West Somerset, and it's the West Somerset Free Press. Members of the Women's Institute were entertained to a talk by Miss Christine Ackhurst. Miss Ackhurst read an extract from a book given to her great-grandmother. It was called The New Female Instructor and was a young woman's guide to domestic bliss. It gave advice on everything, practical domestic management, how to avoid unwanted male advances, and even how to resuscitate a drowned person. This included a desperate instruction, when all else had failed, to try blowing tobacco smoke up the fundament of the unfortunate victim.
Tony.
This has been sent in by J. E. Campbell. It's from Alice Faye's obituary in The Guardian. And it reads, her last musical under her contract at Fox was Busby Barclay's The Gang's All Here, in the extravagant finale of which her disembodied head floated about on a field of amber and gold as she sang Journey to a Star. Faye then asked for a part with more body.
Alan.
I got one from the Oxford Mail, Simon. It says, Morrison told the court that he had been in regular well-paid work as a stripper during the early part of the year, but the pub had laid him off in August because things had gone a bit slack.
Thank you all. Now let's look at the final scores. Andy and David, 15 points, but Alan and Tony, this week's winners with 20 points. And we leave you all with a cutting from the local government chronicle.
A councillor who displayed his pierced genitals on the internet is to remain a member of Harrow Borough Council, despite calls for his resignation. The Lib Dem deputy leader Lawrence Cox said, I don't think he's done anything sufficiently important to justify his resignation. But we did ask him to remove the Liberal Democrat logo from his website.
And with that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Alan Corrin, Andy Hamilton, Tony Hawkes and David Quantick. The chairman was Simon Hoggart and the news was read by me, Charlotte Green. The chairman's script was written by Tom Jameson, George Poles and Jed Parsons. And the producer was John Rolfe.